Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I know y'all miss me. I know y'all miss me and my homeboy Pat, because we bringing that real stuff to y'all. Hey, shout out to everybody who's tuning in to the videos of us talking about condoms and sex. Shout out to y'all. We know who y'all is. We know how y'all get down. Y'all get down just like we do. So shout out to y'all. But you know, all in all, there's a method to our madness to make sure that we're practicing safe sex out here. So, but shout out to everybody tuning in to the last couple episodes of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Pat can't be here today, but it's all good. You know, he's still holding it down on the back end. I am Joseph Ward, one half of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. And remember, we're brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization that's working to improve the black community. You can go learn more about them at the website at www.pactsinc.org. You can also check out our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. We got some of the realest and some of the meanest podcasting going on. Myself, Freedom Train Podcast Series, Lessons from the Screen, Shelby's World, Enigma, Self Hour. Make sure you go check it all out because it's really going down. 850 stand up. All right. So, you know, subscribe to this YouTube channel, this Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, like this video, share, comment, all that stuff. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. Support the squad. We out here doing what we doing. So support the squad. Hey, man. So today, this one long overdue. But today, I got the big homie on the podcast. And I feel good about this one. I'm happy about this one because, like I said, we're both very busy people. So it took a little minute to get this set up, but we got it set up. And this is a brother that I've known since about 1998. Put it like this. I was in the space when he got his nickname. We call him Big Money Grip. I was there when he got the name. All right. So we go back since high school. We remained friends over the years, and we've both been able to watch each other grow. So after high school, I know into college, we've seen the gentleman. He matriculated through college. Has spent some time in the military. We're going to get into all of that. But he came out with skill sets, lessons, and a mindset. And he used that to create his own business, G1 God First Collection, right? He used that experience. He used that ingenuity. He used all the resources he had to create something of his own because he wanted to build a legacy for himself and his family. And it's through the clothing brand. And he started years ago, and he's still doing it. You know, the average business in America lasts about 2 to 3 years. But this brother that passed, he didn't surpass that. And he's still here putting it down from the streets of Atlanta to the streets of Tallahassee or wherever he need to be. All right? So this is the logo. Remember the logo. God first. God, family, hustle. Give it up for the homie, Grip Bellamy. Welcome to the Freedom Train Podcast Series, my brother. You the homie, man. Got to grab to bring you in right, man. You the homie, man.
You feel that, man.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man, we watch each other grow, man. I'm proud of everything you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Your collection. You got your team together. Hey, man, you're doing it. I'm proud of you.
I appreciate it, man. I'm proud of you as well. Like I say, man, I got my shirt on, man.
Yeah, right.
You know this. Right. You know, I got another one in the closet, got the blue one, but you know, God, family, hustle, man. I like that, man. So I know you, I know about you, and you know, I gave a little brief, but kind of give our audience, man, a little background information. Who is Grip Bellamy, and how did you get like inspired before we like get in like deep into it, but just overall, what inspired you to get into the fashion business?
Well, I'm Grip Bellamy, Tallahassee, Florida, Rickers High, stand up, time for Joe Ward.
You know it.
I get inspired by my environment, things I've been through. Like you say, we played ball together in high school. After high school, I was into the military, was deployed. I went to Iraq in 03, 04. Had that experience, learned a lot, prayed a lot to get through, made it through it. Came back, started at Florida A&M. went through the School of Business, and my bachelor's in marketing, and went on to get my master's in sports management. Right when I came out, it was in the middle of a recession. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was like, okay, you just got this piece of paper, but you can't do nothing with it. I'm going on job interviews, other job interviews to get hiring freezes. So at that point, it was, hey, we got to come up with something. And that's when G1 was born out of God's, you know, God's working. I was able to be put in a position to where I could own my own family hair salon.
Right.
We had the hair salon for about 5 years, me, my grandmother, my aunt. It was something, the opportunity that came to me to keep my grandmother going and also to build a family legacy. Mm-hmm. So I got into that, got the experience, was able to open up a store, G1 Fashion Accessories right next door. So I had that experience. At the same time, it was a lot going on around that time. You had the recession. I opened up a salon, went on to I was in grad school. Mm-hmm. And I was working as a registrar at an elementary school.
Right. I remember.
So it was like, it was chaotic, but I'm a multitasker. I'm one that kind of has to keep his hand busy. I love seeing things grow. I love communicating and networking with people. I love being a resource as well. So all those things come together as far as business, family, the youth, veterans. So that's where you get the G1 lifestyle, God, family, hustle. Key God first, take care of your family, and handle your business.
There you go.
And that's the thing that, you know, we survived on, and we built into success, and we still build it. And we're going to keep going. Right now, we've sold thousands of products all over the country. I can't even count. I know it's up there.
That's what's up.
Well, we started off with hair products, sunglasses, into our online G1 lifestyle and our God First collection. Our God First collection came from the three pillars, from the first ones to come out. God first, keep him first, you'll never be last. Because I wouldn't be able to survive the things that I've been through. Surviving war, the passing of my daughter, to just life in general. One thing constant is keeping him first, and he'll, you know, guide you through.
Right.
So when we came out with the God First, it was something that we believe in, we'll always believe in, and I feel everybody believes in.
There you go. Nah, that's real. That's real. So I remember in college, we were all going to school, and then you were deployed to Iraq. I think you were deployed like twice while we were in college.
Yes, we're deployed twice. Okay. Three or four. And then we had different duties throughout, maybe stateside, like hurricanes. And so I was constantly doing things with the military that took me away from school.
So what was going through your mind, or what was your plan? Because you knew you weren't going to be in there for long, but what was your plan as far as, all right, I got to finish school and then take the next step? Like, how was you able to plan that out? Or what was the planning process when you come in? Like, I'm deployed, I'm in school, I'm trying to finish school, and, you know, everybody else is finishing, because I know that was going through my mind. Everybody else finishing. I want to get through school, but I'm deployed. So how was you preparing to come back to school and finish school to take that next step?
Well, while I was over there, that was my motivation for getting back.
Okay.
Getting up every morning in a hostile environment. You got mortars going off. You got, you know, it's a lot, literally a lot going on. So my motivation every morning was to pray that God bring me back so I can make it back to my family and continue my education to take care of my daughter.
Okay.
She was my main motivation to get back and be that standard, you know, for her. Because My sister was the first one to graduate from college, but I was the first male. So just being that and setting that example for my family and my brother and everybody behind me, that meant a lot to me. So that kept me motivated. And in the downtime, even though we may work 12 hours on, 12 hours off. So in the meantime, we planning, we dreaming, you know, like, wait till we get home.
Yeah.
Like life, the boom, boom room.
Mm.
I can't wait to get back.
That's what's up. That's cool as hell. But now, because like I say, all right, so you got your planning together. You're over there, you're planning, you come back, you get a chance to graduate from college. All right. So what was your next step after college? Like right before was starting G1 the next step after college, or what was happening between like graduation and college and you starting your business?
The recession. You know, throughout college, I always been resourceful. I knew people in different places. So people would see things that I had and be like, man, you get that from? And I wound up selling it to them. So I started building in college, people knowing me from having maybe a pair of sunglasses or different things I may have that they may want. And that's when I build that business acumen, just being in SBI. Just being around the business atmosphere and the hustle and bustle of Tallahassee, you know, me and you've been some summers where, you know, we had to make some things happen.
Yes, sir.
Survival was key. We had to get creative.
We was out gotta do what you gotta do out here.
Giving out cell phones. Yeah. I remember you was out there doing the HIV testing in Quincy.
Yep.
I was on the cell phone. It's all me and you always, you know, connected in the field.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Okay. Yeah, I do remember that. Like, I do remember the cell phone, because I'm like, man, you way out here in Gaston Canyon. Like, we was in the projects too.
Right. Giving out free cell phones. You know, we were doing over 1,500 cell phones a day.
I remember
at
that.
At that time, we were it was me and like three other guys from the area. And the company that came in wasn't from Tallahassee. So we had the advantage of actually knowing the layout, the background. And just building off the community. So we were able to go in spots where no one else was.
Right.
At that point, you know, we that's when we built the business off that. And right after that, we lead into graduation. Now we in the recession.
Okay.
Now everything we doing, all the schooling we did, the long test, it's time to pay off, and boom, there's no jobs out there.
Right.
So now that's when the opportunity came, you know, to run the salon. And that was my first experience as a business owner at that point.
Okay.
And it paid off. You know, you have your ups and downs. You know, the fall's always good, spring is always good, and then the summer. So in the midst of it, we learned survival.
Right. Right.
So survival turned into business, returns into, you know, repetition and getting better every year, finding ways to improve. And that's and that's how we went from college to business. So now we're in business, we got three stylists in, we're selling products out of the salon, and everything's moving gradually.
Okay. And was this salon located off of Indian Head behind that vertical?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I remember it. Cause I think I was living on that side of town by then, so I would always pass the salon. Okay, gotcha. So you saying your grandmother owned the building next to the salon?
No, we owned the salon. It was Country Dollar at the time that was next to it.
Okay.
So at that time they had a lot of traffic, and you know, me being getting creative, we was able to collab, and then eventually they went on to move to Killarn, and that's when I opened up G1 Fashion Accessories.
Okay. Okay. And so, but the salon, that was something that your grandmother, that was her business.
She was actually working in the business, and the owner abruptly left, like literally left in the middle of the day.
Like, right.
We come in on a Sunday and there's literally nothing there. She has two clients waiting.
Right.
So I literally had to go buy all new chairs, shampoo bowls, had to literally start from scratch, like on the fly.
Right.
So me and my aunt, rest in peace, to Sarah, me and her, we wanted to make sure my grandmother keep going. And she knew at the time I was selling products. So that's when we made the collaboration, like, let's keep grandmother working. You have the opportunity to run a business with your products. And it should, and we gonna make it work from there.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Now I'm getting some clarity on it, because you you're learning business on the go.
Right.
You're learning business as you do it.
Fresh out of college, straight into CEO mode, trying to.
So hold up. So the goddamn owner of the shop just decided to leave in the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day. We found out they went to paying rent.
Gotcha.
So they were taking my grandmother's rent and doing whatever with. And then all of a sudden, you know, they were gone.
Right.
So at this point,
right.
My grandmother, she's been doing hair over 40 years.
Okay.
So, you know, we want to keep her going.
And, gotcha.
And I said, let's do it. You know, something she loves to do. You know, let's keep her going. And at that time, she was the only one in the shop. So now I pick up another expense at the time before I get the stylist, before things right. get, before I get products in it. So, yeah, that.
So what went in? What, because I know you're saying you had to buy new sinks, had to buy new chairs and stuff. But what went into like the actual planning and maintaining of the business and hiring people to make sure you get the right people? Because you know this is something new to you. So how did you kind of make sure that you got the right pieces in place and even got the business back on track from the man not paying rent?
At that time, we being so new and young to the. To the space, it was trial and error.
Okay.
Dealing in the salon with dealing with stylists, they are more independent minded than employee. So I would have to, they're literally wait and see. Because some people they come in, I was the marketing guy. I didn't work in the business, I worked on the business. So I would be at events, I would be calling around, I'd be at elementary school speaking to get kids' haircuts.
Gotcha.
I would be out in the community letting them know about our business and the opportunities that we have to grow. Because one thing I, you know, with me being in the community, I knew people.
So right.
Nothing. If I have a stylist that's new, that's fresh, that's, you know what they're doing, people are going to come. And if the quality is good, they're going to keep coming back. And that's when we kept growing at that gotcha. Point. And then I was already known for my product. So you may come in, get your dread retwist and get you a pair of glasses or... You're getting that shampoo to maintain in between styles. So I always try to be creative with the business.
Okay. All right. So you got the salon back on track, and then the Country Dollar moves. Now you're open. You're able to open your store, G1. So, but you're coming into the store with some experience from the salon. But what were the differences in having a clothing store versus a salon, other than the obvious differences? But what were some of the, like the business differences between running a store where you're selling products versus a salon?
A salon more service based. So basically, with the chairs, you know, you have set booth rent. You didn't have to worry about inventory. Main thing was just marketing your team of stylists. With the accessory store, it's more about keeping inventory, more accountability, and getting the flow of traffic. Luckily, the space we were in, traffic was already there.
Gotcha.
And I already established myself at the salon. So when people would come around for those products that they wanted, I'd have them. And then we had the Country Dollar that actually just left. They left for a void, which was an opportunity for me. So it kept business going, and I always kept new products. We try to keep products that were priced well and products that were in style and have great quality.
All right. So I got two questions. Yeah. All right. So one is about, all right, so you already have Country Dollar traffic.
Right.
But you also have your population of people who buy your stuff.
Right.
So did you have to convince the Country Dollar people to buy your stuff? And also, did you have to convince your customers to come to your spot?
So what I did, but I didn't, because they came for the Country Dollar. But so what I did was I put a dollar wall. I had a wall simply for the jewelry that they came for. But
gotcha.
I also had my products that my customers come for every week or every time an event coming up, like sunglasses, hair products, little knickknacks, that more accessories to keep them, you know, for the event or just maintenance. And then, you know, we have the salon next door, which, you know, they'll come in, get their hair done, and in between, you know, sometimes you may have to wait. Oh, let me go shopping next door. So okay. It kind of worked hand in hand, which we were doing in the salon already, but it wasn't that on that scale. Now we're a little larger. We got more room to add more products.
Gotcha. Yeah. It do make sense, especially when you got the salon there, because somebody gonna have to wait.
Right. So, oh, let me see what's next door. So they go right. in, or they see that nice purse. Okay, TNL tonight. That was one of the big nights when they had TNL. People right. come in and, you know, get their hair done, grab accessories, and boom, you ready? I wonder what's one stop shop. That was the thing
mm-hmm.
to make gotcha. Sure you know you come when you do come in, you get your hair done, you get your accessories, you ready for the night.
Right. But you also say you had the dollar wall,
right?
And so that kept the regular country dollar customers coming back, but also converting them to the stuff that you buy,
right?
Okay.
So,
all right.
Come in for the dollar wall and buy $80 purse. So
something got to hook them. Something right. got to hook them in there. Gotcha. Because you know you go to the like the Dollar General and something, you might end up spending more than just a dollar, because it right. really ain't no dollars though. But, you know. Gotcha. All right. So the second question is, because I know, look, when it comes to fashion, look, I just two things. Three things. Make sure my stuff ain't extra tight. Make sure I'm matching, and make sure I ain't wrinkled. That's me. So what went into you learning about fashion and what people like in different regions and different places? Like, how the hell did that happen? How you learn that stuff?
Traveling, being in the military, having family all over. Like I said, I traveled from Tallahassee, LA, Atlanta. So you see the latest fashion, and some may catch in Atlanta that may not catch in Tallahassee or hasn't mm-hmm. caught there yet. So just attending trade shows, beauty shows, that's one of the key things that kind of keep you abreast of what's going on in the future.
Right.
Sometimes you may be too far ahead. There's sometimes where I may have a product that I may get in February that may not hit until May.
So how do you know, I guess, how do you know that the product is ahead of the time? Is it because of the sales?
Each trade show, when you go to trade shows in probably any industry, it's always a look into the future. Mm-hmm. So when I go to a trade show, like I just went to one last week, well, about 3 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago. And they have the spring and fall line, but they tell you what's coming out. You can right. you can see before it comes. So you actually order before the season. So, okay, this is going to, like, rhinestones are going to be hot. So you're like, hey, well, my demographic buy rhinestones? So it was like, right. so you have to really know your demographic. Because at the time, even now, I'm 24 to 35, so conservative, but want to be fly. So mm-hmm. I know my 35-year-old customer's not going to wipe rhinestones around their waist. So, but my 21, 24 may.
They might do that, yeah.
They might. So in that, and in Tallahassee demographic, you pretty much have a melting pot with the college students. Then you have the residents. They may mm-hmm. be on two totally different ways. So you always have to have balance. And at the time, you know, we were always on campus. We were right. working, we were in school. So you get a chance to see it from really both angles.
Gotcha. So. Okay. So how would you consider, and I don't really know the best way to ask this, but what would you consider, how would you describe G1's fashion or the collection or the items that you create? How would you describe that?
I describe it as, for one, we go for great quality. Like, some people may just say anything just because we go for great quality and we want a great message. So with the G1 collection, even with the God First clothing, it's something that you can feel, you wear, you represent. You ain't got guns, and it's something that your 18-year-old son can wear or your 85-year-old grandmother can wear and feel comfortable wearing and confident. So it's great quality clothing with a great message. That's our motto.
Okay. So, and this, like I say, a lot of these questions, outlook. I just wear what I like. All
right. Right. So you like, like you say, you like what you like. You like something with a good message, feel good. It, right. It look good, it's clean, nothing too flashy.
Cause when I put this, when I grabbed the shirt, I was like, well, damn, I like the quality. So how do you learn the difference between like just a run-of-the-mill quality t-shirt and a quality t-shirt like what I have here? Because this is yours. So like what goes into saying, all right, well, this is trash versus all right, this is some great quality material that I can use and make a profit off of.
Sometimes you look for the cotton count, make it to the feel. Like, okay, this soft, will this shrink? Well, after they washed it a couple times, will it go away? So sometimes you have to wear it a couple times to test it, to see the longevity of it, to see if I want to put it on the market. But from what I've learned, a lot of people, they'll buy it with, no matter the quality, but it's something that I kind of put, you know, my heart into. Like, if I'm going to put it out there, I want it to be quality, something they can have for a while, they can wash 20 times and, you know, still hold strong.
Right.
That, when I pick my material, I really like my sweatshirts. They feel they you can almost sleep in them.
Okay.
Well, you don't want to take them off. That gives that customer that feel. Like I have people that come up to me that brought sweaters, the shirts 3 years ago. Man, I need another one, man. My aunt wanted it. My cousin wanted it. Feels so good. That's the kind of stuff that makes me, you know, feel good. Okay, I'm putting out good product.
Gotcha. So, because you talking about you really over my head with this. I ain't gonna front, but I'm listening. I do understand what you're saying, but just practically not having done it. So, but there's a science to this because you're talking about cotton count and all that stuff there. Right. So, like, how do you learn all that?
I'm just doing research and, like I say, going to the shows and getting with people who are within the industry.
Okay.
Really, just not trial and error, but going to the show, seeing different vendors. I've traveled to LA to the Fashion District, Atlanta Fashion District, New York Fashion District to see the difference in material and learn from people that's already been there. Because I want my stuff next to Gucci. When you put Gucci on, I want it to be the same feeling. Because, you know, I was selling the designer stuff, and I felt like my brand was just as good as the designer.
Right.
So I want that feel. If it's not that feel, it's hard for me to sell it. And I also want a good message. Like
right.
Something that, you know, when you go out, you're like, okay, I like that. Or gotcha. I felt that. Or I got an example of one of my mentors, mentees, he G1. I mean, he wore the sweatsuits, the shirts. So I gave him a sticker, put on the motorcycle, and he actually got in a car accident, ran the back of an 18-wheeler, passed 3-4 times on the way to the hospital and made it. Dang. Had to teach yourself how to walk, how to talk. When he finally got up and got back right, he said the sticker saved him. He said, if I wouldn't have had that God first stick on my motorcycle, I probably wouldn't did. And that touched me. Like, this is bigger than the brand.
Right.
This is huge. You never know how you make people feel just off clothing. Now, I know, you know, we know the old saying, Dion, you look good, you feel good, you do good.
There you go.
And that's so true. Because people confidence, even with a pair of shades, go from here to here.
Yeah.
I see it, and it's like, oh, this is it.
Hey, put them shades on.
Hey, put the shades on like you're a whole different person. <I'm> like, <"Hey, laughs> so that really sparked my interest and it motivated me. Okay, I'm actually building people confidence off clothing.
So right.
That's amazing. That you never know how you make people day. I was somewhere, a guy. I was in Tallahassee last week. We did the pop-up at Catering with Care.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, man, I bought a t-shirt from you 3 years ago. I've been looking for you. I'm like, 3 years ago? He brought his wife in. This is who I bought the shirt from. She came in, she bought like three of them, a pair of shades, and he was like, I gave him a card. Like, man, I've been looking for you. He was so excited. I'm like, wow.
That's what's up.
It really impacts people that you wouldn't even know. Some people may look at it as just a t-shirt. But, man, it's amazing.
Right. So, as far as like new collections, and could you say like the fall and the spring? Because I know we're in the fall now, they got spring coming up. So what do you have? You have things coming up for the spring already, or like the summer that you're already working on?
Yes, the last trade show was for the spring and the summer. So we're working on new short sets for next year, for next summer, new colorways. And then, you know, different new items that may come out, or new colors. Like nude wasn't a thing last year, but men are wearing nude color now, which is like a brownish, pinkish color that just got hot. So you have to be abreast of it, but you also have to know your demographic. You know, like, nah, my people might not wear that. So right now we're dropping our sweatsuits because it's, you know, it's fall and winter time. So we have our sweatsuits, which is the G1 God furnished the orange, burnt orange, and okay, on the wrong hand. Which is the burnt orange and black, and representation of, you know, the mighty rattlers that's rolling. Go. Yeah, that's rolling. Shout out to them rattlers. So we did this. We did this for them, just the rattler edition. And we got, you know, the jumps, the sweatsuits, and the track suits that are jumping for the for the fall.
Hey, so I've noticed, man, the jumpsuits and the track suits that made a comeback, especially with amongst men.
Right.
They definitely made a comeback. And I know the latest, you know, the latest, like the gray sweatpant part of it. So go ahead and drop the gray sweatpant collection for the ladies.
All right.
You know how they do, man. Hey, so nah, but like, I'm impressed, bro, because like I said, I don't know nothing about fashion like that, and you teaching me, but it's also showing that you really know, you really take your stuff serious, and you really took the time to learn your industry. So like, how many years would you say kind of took you, or how long rather did it take you to kind of get a good grasp on what fashion was, and not only just what fashion was, but the people that you serve, the people who brought your stuff? How long did it take you to get a good grasp on what they liked?
We're still learning. Because everything's always evolving and changing. So we try to stay ahead, but not too far ahead. Because some, you know, once you get to a certain age bracket or demographic, sometimes they just like what they like. They may not like the jeans with the sparkles on. They just might like a light, nice sweatsuit or a nice t-shirt. And, you know, the base is to keep, but they want, you know, they still want to be fly. So
gotcha.
I try to keep a balance between trendy, but also fashionable, but not too flashy. Because my demographic, and, you know, we're growing older, so a lot of people kind of laid back. So they want to be comfortable.
Right.
So right now it's about being comfortable, but fashionable at the same time.
Right.
So when you put that suit on, you know you fresh, but you feel good. So you don't care what nobody got going on. I'm in my G1 sweatsuit, and I'm feeling good. I'm looking good, and I'm doing good.
There you go. So, I mean, but that's real, because when I put this shirt on, I was like, damn, this month comfortable than mother, man. They gonna see me in this all the time. I'm still just trying to make sure I understand, because you said you don't want to be too far ahead. You don't want to be too far in the future. You don't want to think too far out. Like, how do you know? Like, I guess if you create a space suit or something, you got people walking around looking like, because you know some fashion shows, people walking down these runways looking like a damn fool.
Crazy. I just left the trade show, man. I seen more glitter and diamonds and all in the shirt. I'm like, that's fly, but that's not my demographic.
So how you toe the line between trying to be creative and kind of step a bit outside the box, but not being too crazy?
Just balance, knowing your people, knowing what sold last year and what's predicted for the next year. Because when I say too far ahead, it may be a like right now they got the reflective game where you walk in and people can see you lighting up.
Mm-hmm.
But most people they don't like it until they see somebody else in it. Right. So I may put it out and it not catch a buzz. People might not even like, what's that? But then they look on and see their favorite celebrity in it. Now they want it. So you have to be able to kind of put it out there, but at the same time, it's hard being a trend. It's hard being first, mm-hmm. first of all, in any yeah. industry. When you're first going to catch the backlash, you don't know if it's going to work or not. So sometimes you have to stick your neck out there. And there have been times where I've put stuff out there and been wrong. But then 6 months later, it's the hottest thing out.
You put that thing right back out, though.
Right. You don't remember? I was the first one with that. You don't remember that?
Right. Straight up. That's real, though. Like, man, I'm finna catch this wave.
Yeah.
I've been here. You ain't finna leave me. So you talked about also having influencers or celebrities and things who may put something on that may start the wave. So I remember seeing pictures of CeeLo Green and some other celebrities, but who are some of, you know, in addition to CeeLo, who are some of the other celebrities or influencers that you have been able to work with or even bump into that endorsed your clothing that kind of helped give it a boost?
CeeLo, 19 Keys, he's big on the internet, real smart, intelligent
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, he's smart as hell.
Intelligent. So I actually ran to him at an event in Atlanta. They was opening up a boxing gym, and he has this golden water. So So he was in the pub and that, and I had my hat on, which is gold and black, my veteran's hat. He was like, man, I love that hat. I told him about the brand, and he loved it. He took it and he reposted it. And right now, Joel Young, I don't know if y'all familiar with him, but he's been working with me for a couple years now. He plays RZA on Wu-Tang.
Gotcha.
That's my guy. He's G1.
He can act real good.
Yeah, man. That's real good, brother. Hey, I actually met him at a barbershop a couple years ago.
Yeah, because he was in the movie with Denzel. I forgot. He didn't done a cut, but the brother can act.
And in my area, probably like two X's up from where I live is on the Tyler Perry, like Mark, satellite campuses where all the actors actually live in Covington, Georgia. So they would come down, he would bring actors, you know, to me for my brand and sunglasses and different items and built that connection with a few actors that have they're acting now, they really haven't popped yet. He one of the first ones to actually have a major role.
Right.
So building with them, not running all kind of celebrities. Sometimes it'd be, you know, living in Atlanta, you see them so, Zaytoven, you see them so often that it's like you can't even get a picture because they move around. You might see them in the grocery store, gas stations. And like, dang, that's such a thing.
So how do you leverage that? Because, you know, some people, they'll see celebrities and be starstruck. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even if the person is not a celebrity, the person may have a platform that could be able to help you. You may be able to help them if y'all network. So how do you leverage? Like, what advice you give to people? When you're in the room with other people, whether they're celebrities or not, how do you leverage networking and be able to benefit off of creating relationships and making the relationships work?
Finding building value with that person, like a 19 Keys. When you go and talk to him about, he's religious, he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have that conversation, you got to know, did this person fit my brand? Is he even a CeeLo? CeeLo was raised in the church. So mm-hmm. when he saw the God first, he actually like, man, I like that. Like, because you research on CeeLo, his mother or father was a pastor or something.
Okay.
But he actually sung in the church before he hit. So a lot of, like I say, my brand, it tailors to everybody. You can relate.
Yeah, everybody understand the concept of God.
Everybody understand it. So when you see it, you're like, man, you know what? I've had people come and like ward the churches. I had New Birth is not far from my hat, and they had a hoodie day. And mm-hmm. one of my customers wore at the church, and he called me and said, man, I got 10 people want this sweatshirt. They actually followed him, and I met them. And
that's what's up.
But that was right before the pandemic happened.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So making that connection and knowing your demographic, when you build, when you leveraging, can't really just go in. You can, and it works sometimes, but sometimes, you know, you don't know how they want to be bothered. And then you got to know the environment. Is this one of those environments where they're friendly, they're networking, or just do I bum rush them and give them a hoodie? So you got to have that balance. Like, sometimes, you know, you have to do that. You have to seize right. the opportunity.
Gotcha. Nah, that's real though. That's real. That and but that's information people need to know, so they won't be all starstruck, because they human just like we are. But how do you leverage the relationships that you have? Like, because networking is a two-way street. You, like you're saying, you building value for them and they building value for you, and y'all being able to work off that and grow off that over time, rather than just, hey, I know such and such, I took a picture with such and such, but yeah, you ain't getting nothing out of it.
Right. It's all about value. Any industry, any networking, whether you a barber or you stylist, you have to network and build value. If you're not a value, like I say, it's just a conversation. Because they might get your hoodie and get in the car and throw it out the window. Took the time and talk, had a conversation. Like, okay, that was an intelligent brother. Let me check him out. So there when you go. Y'all out there networking, try to bring value. If you know that person, that celebrity, that influencer, try to build that value around where, okay, I see you doing this. This is what I bring to the table. How may I be able to help you?
There you go. There you go. There you go. That's the question folks need to be asking people instead of expecting people to help them with their hand out.
Right.
So, yeah. So, as far as the different styles of fashion, do you have any, as far as for men, you got any plans on coming out with like suits and dress pants and polo shirts and button down, however the terminology, but just like church clothes and semi-church clothes?
We'll probably do like polos.
Okay.
Like polo shirts where, you know, you can wear to church on that youth Sunday, or, you know, once we get back, the pandemic really kind of change things, because one thing about here, people in church, are they creative? Like, they might have a tracksuit day, and that's what was happening right before the pandemic, to where they'll have themes and they'll call you and say, hey man, my church having a hoodie day, we need you.
Gotcha.
I opened up a whole network, and it's amazing. It's amazing.
Gotcha. Okay. But it does depend on the demand of the people you're serving though.
Right.
Gotcha.
And opportunity. Fashion is a cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, in the winter, you know, you're gonna need your coats, you're gonna need your hoodies, you're gonna need sweatsuits in the summertime, you know, in shorts. So it's not totally going off the wheel, reinventing the wheel, but just putting your spin on it. Cause this is stuff that people are gonna need, you know, yearly. You know, mm-hmm. Some people buy coat every year. Some people buy coat every other year.
Right.
You might have that hoodie you bought last winter that you left in the dryer too long, and now it's a different color. So now you need another hoodie. So it's all, even if you look at the Nikes, Nike didn't change anything. They might take a black shirt and put a green check on it. Mm-hmm. Now it's a whole new Nike shirt, but it's still a black shirt.
Right.
So you don't want to reinvent the wheel too much. But at the same time, you want to put a little spin on it.
Okay. So what's the future of G1? Like, what are you looking to take the brand, take the business in the future? Like, let's say next 5-10 years, what you looking to be able to do with the brand?
Right now, we're going more into philanthropy, giving back. So two of our main focuses right now are veterans and disadvantaged youth. So we're going to take our message and our resources and put them back in the community. That's why we have the veteran event. It's our second annual Breakfast with Heroes, to let come give veterans an outlet to come tell their story, to come conjugate amongst each other, and just be amongst, because the military community is huge. So when you get spread in Tallahassee, I think I just said they got over 30,000 veterans in that area alone.
Right.
So if we're able to reach out, let people come tell their story, just vibe together, plan, hopefully we could turn this into a weekend to where we can have, you know, a golf tournament and a picnic with family, and eventually, you know, let it be, make it be a big thing. But brand in total, we want to keep growing. We want to be a pillar in our community, in this nation, this country, and be somebody that has resources to help others.
Gotcha.
Let me. We're going to keep building and keep growing.
We'll put this back up here again. So, Veterans Day, November 11th. We got the breakfast coming. G1 Lifestyle Breakfast. My dog hosting. You see him in this suit. You see him.
We got it.
And this will be at the Catering with Care restaurant. If you're in Tallahassee, Florida, in the Catering with Care on South Monroe, right across the street from the Subway. Right across the street from the Avis.
Avis, right. 1431 South Monroe Street. And they're actually having a parade that Thursday morning.
Veteran Day parade.
And it's right down the hill. Once you finish the parade, just mosey on down, get your free, because veterans eat free pretty much everywhere. But this is a black pillar in our community, Catering with Care. Great breakfast. Everybody's in there, from the mayor to the sheriffs.
Everybody.
You know, everybody come through there. So I feel like they need to be a part of that. Because once you come in and get your meal, you're coming back. Because it has that home feel.
Right. Yeah. Look, man, you're doing a lot of great things. You've built something that's going to continue to grow. You also built something that you could pass on. You built something that has meaning, has purpose, and something that make you want to get better. And definitely proud of you for that. And got to take my hat off to you for that, because you made sure that you created something that was worthwhile and that the community can be proud of, rather than something that's just item out here just trying to make money off my community. But hey, I'm making money now, but I'm building something that can help my community and help us look good while we out here doing what we do.
That's right, because you look good, you feel good, you do good.
Man, look here, that's how you do it. So if folk people wanna, they see this interview, they like my shirt. I know they like my shirt. They like your sweat. They like your hoodie. They wanna get more stuff. They wanna browse your website or learn more about you. How can people get in contact with you?
Our website is www.godfirstclothing.com. That's godfirstclothing.com. You can look us up on IG at God First Clothing, and also G1 Lifestyle LLC. G1 Lifestyle on IG. And G1Lifestyle.com. G1Lifestyle.com is going to be more philanthropy work. I work in the community. Just more blog. You know, we have a few items on there, but we want to build people, youth, resource in the community. So with the G1 Lifestyle, we're going more community-based. Like I said, you'll see us in the community a lot at 22, whether it's feeding the homeless, whether it's coach, you know, we used to coach back in the day, so we still got that passion. It's helping, and because man, it's a lot of opportunity out here in giving back.
It is.
I went to the Veteran Empowerment Organization of Georgia, and they were talking about all this money they raised, but they didn't have people to get out and do the work. So it's a lot of people out here, and I commend you, Joe, because you get out in the community and you do the work.
I appreciate it, bro.
It's a need for people to get back out, get from behind, not to keep your mask on, but get out of the community and help others. You never know who you're motivating out here just by simply, helping out.
And so I do want to ask this before it slipped my mind, because we both have briefly mentioned the pandemic, but how did the pandemic affect your business?
The pandemic, it actually lifted my business.
Okay.
Because people had more, instead of having shows and games, they went online. So now the customers, they post a picture in their shirts or their hoodies, and then the website get a click. So it was but at the same time, I'm in Atlanta. So you know that pandemic kind of blew through here.
It wasn't no pandemic in Atlanta.
It was a pandemic.
Yeah. Straight up.
A lot of people had extra resources to support, and it was actually one of my best years. 2020, because a lot of people had, you know, they were home, they were saving money, and people just stopped piling on clothes to go nowhere for some reason. But I love y'all for that. And so it actually helped, and was able to the network with a few people, and also get into different industries, like real estate.
Mm-hmm. So
it helped us.
I saw some of your G1 lifestyle videos that you were doing, dropping some gems and motivating people.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah. How can people see those videos?
Go to our YouTube at G1 Lifestyle, God Family Hustle on YouTube. We have videos on there. We have a lot more. I'm actually putting together like a homecoming little mini documentary of the hustle. Because the HBCU grind is real. I just left Columbus with the Fort Valley and Auburn mm-hmm. State Classic, and I'm like, HBCUs we on the front page right now, but it's still so much growth.
Yeah, long way.
And growth in between there.
Yeah, we got a long way to go with these HBCUs.
Man, we grew up around them, so we used to it. But you go to other places and see their coaches, be like, okay, we did this and they not doing that. It's an opportunity in the middle for us to come in and be assistants.
Right. Nah, man, that's what's up though. Because I didn't know about the philanthropy. I didn't know about a lot of that stuff that you have going on. But I knew that you've been active in the, of course, you know, I see you all the time, so I know you're in the community, but so I'm glad you explained G1 Lifestyle and how you're using that for your philanthropy and all. But also, you took a clothing brand, you took an idea of a clothing brand, and you made it more than just a clothing brand. And the G1 Lifestyle says it all. This is a lifestyle now. This is God first lifestyle. So we're not just out here just to make money. We're out here to change lives. But you know, a broke revolutionary leads a broke revolution. So y'all got the support.
That's right.
All right, y'all see, look me in my damn eyes and support people. Say that website one more time.
www.godfirstclothing.com.
Hey.
We got a lot of Black Friday specials coming. And say, we on our HBCU tour. Well, right now, just left one. We headed to Tallahassee, November 11th. For the Veterans Day event, we'll be giving out a couple sweatshirts. Just come out, get a meal, eat with a veteran. Come here, veteran store. If you're a veteran, come get you. Just let this be your first free meal of the day at a Black-owned establishment.
Oh yeah, yeah, making it happen, man. Keep doing what you're doing, bro. And you already know, man. We over here to help, support. We over here. We got your back. Keep doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is some excellent work. And coming from where we come from, a lot of people really don't get it because they didn't grow up where we come from. They didn't do what we come from. But let's just be real. Folk ain't expect us to make it.
Not at all.
You know, we were just supposed to go to high school. Yeah, we played ball. But after that, we just supposed to whatever. And folk ain't expect us to make it. We didn't have a lot of help. We didn't have the greatest of examples and role models. But we did one thing that I'm proud of, our whole group, even though, you know, everybody had their little pockets, but our whole group of everybody, we stuck together.
Yeah, it's family always.
And we still rocking
all of us. And I see, you know, we see fellas in passing, and I just mm-hmm. love to see everybody health wise nobody's locked up or did nothing crazy. Everybody just doing them.
Right.
Everybody's doing them, and they're doing it well, looking good, and holding it down.
Right. Man, so, like I said, man, I'm proud of you, bro. And you already know, anything you need, man, if I can help you, bro.
We pull the truck up to the event on Wednesday, see if we can get some testing.
On Wednesday?
Yeah, if possible.
What time?
It's from 9 to 12.
But
we'll be there because the parade's over at 11, so we probably spent the last little rush after the parade.
You say that's Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday, Veterans Day. A lot of people are working.
Because they're gonna be closed Thursday. I'm gonna be out of town. But yeah. Hey, man, you already know. Any other time though, just get with me, because just holler at me whenever you want some the truck to come out, there's some outreach, anything, just holler at me, because it's gonna have to go through me anyway. So you already know we're gonna make it happen.
Oh yeah, we got some exciting things for 22.
It is, man. So look, we here doing what we're doing. It's the Freedom Train Network, man. This is how we do it. That's all we know, is people who are here doing what they're supposed to do, and people who are making the world better, man. So this is how we do it. God first lifestyle, God first clothing, the collection. Get your mind right. God family hustle. If you don't know, then now you know.